I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's show is brought to you by Hearst Ranch Grass-Fed Beef, available on the internet at HearstRanch.com.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're here at Roberta's, as usual, on the home of Heritage. And today we are joined by a guest who is an expert on all sorts of Asian cooking. She has written numerous cookbooks. I have one of them at home for William Sonoma, three Asian cookbooks for William Sonoma.
That's right.
And she also is the founder of Farina's Asian Pantry and a brand new app of the same name. So welcome to the show, Farina Wong Kingsley.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks for making it here all the way from Singapore just for my show.
Hey, I have to come here to try the pizza at least.
Oh, fine. You're a veteran cookbook author, and this is your first app, correct?
Correct.
And it's a brand new material. It's a lot of videos too, which is exciting. But it's also on the subject of Asian food.
Exactly.
How did you decide to make an app after doing so many cookbooks? Were you just bored with it, or?
No, I felt that it was really in order to sort of, follow the times. I really had to become, accessible online, and I finally had gotten myself an iPhone. I, saw all these crazy apps, and I was thinking, this has to be a way of putting cookbooks, on an app. And I thought the next project would be writing a cookbook, but have it on the app and be accessible and to be able to be sort of a 3D version where you could see the videos, where you could have a glossary, and to have it really approachable.
Mm-hmm. So you use apps for cooking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's one of your favorite cookbooks that's in an app form?
I think right now it's, I'm thinking Jamie Oliver is one of the ones I actually follow. And I know he doesn't actually have a cookbook on the app, but he uses his app just like a cookbook. So I really, wanted to follow that fashion.
Gotcha.
Of basically having all the information accessible, being able to shop from it, take it to the market, do your grocery list, and to be able to cook from the app itself.
Mm-hmm. And the videos are great, too. Have you done TV before? Because you're so natural.
I haven't. I've taught cooking for around 12 years, so I think standing in front of a crowd has been, normal. Standing there, enunciate your words, and really trying to get the point across about Asian food.
I was at my parents' yesterday for Father's Day. My mom was watching. She's like, wow, is she on TV? She's like the Asian Martha Stewart.
That's
great. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. I'm sorry. But I think that was definitely a compliment. In addition to the recipes that you demonstrate in the videos, there's a lot of fun stuff like techniques, how to smash lemongrass, and prepping palm sugar.
Uh-huh.
Like a lot of really specific things in addition to, Thai mango beef salad, salt and pepper prawns, steaming rice.
Right.
It's a mixed bag. So
the whole idea is to really to bring home the way to prepare Asian cuisines, whether it be Chinese, Southeast Asian, Japanese, or Korean, to be able to cook it at home. Say if you tried a recipe in a restaurant and said, I really want to learn how to do pad thai. Well, how do I do it? Mm-hmm. So you learn about the technique of preparing, say, lemongrass for the dish, making a curry paste, whatever it might be. The whole idea is to be able to see it visually, look at the recipe, and to be able to follow it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. And you've taught a lot of classes, too. So is this were these like common questions that you would get from folks who are new to cooking Asian foods?
Exactly so. Yeah. I basically tried to answer the questions that a home cook would ask and say, look, I cook at home, but I don't really know much about Asian cooking. What do I need to know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's learning the basics of prepping, storage, techniques, and the ingredients to be able to say, you know, what ingredients should I have in my pantry in order to make this sort of part of my cooking repertoire.
Right, and there's a pantry essentials, too. And I'm looking at a wonderful kit that Farina actually brought me. And wow, there's a lot of stuff in there. So very exciting. So I feel like Asian food is really, in restaurants at least, have grown more and more popular lately. And especially with a lot of sort of fusion-inspired trends, like the Momofuku restaurants. And, you know, there's a huge ramen trend just in general.
Exactly.
Do you think that this has been contributing to a better sense of, or just a more of an interest of how to cook these Asian foods?
You know, I don't see Asian food as a trend. I mean, really what we're seeing now is finally cuisines that are really part of everyday cooking. And people love the flavors. It's healthy. And it's becoming more approachable. They don't see it as takeout food anymore. And I really think that people see it as, okay, I can get these ingredients in most markets now. It's becoming more familiar. You know, bok choy is really, it's not, it's like becoming a spinach. You know, it's no longer, you know, a foreign Asian vegetable. And they're finding ways to prepare from soups to salads and learning how to use things from fish sauce and different types of soys, being able to identify the difference and to make it more flavorful, to make your food more flavorful.
Yeah. So what do you think is like the trickiest like thing for those who haven't grown up cooking Asian food to wrap their heads around?
You know, what I think it is just identifying the flavors to know what it tastes like first. And to be able to slowly add it to your dish. So you're making a vinaigrette, say a lime vinaigrette, and you want to add a little bit of spiciness or saltiness to it. Maybe you try a little bit of fish sauce added to it, and maybe adding some sriracha, some chili sauce to it. And just experimenting. I think one thing about Asian food, it's very forgiving. You know, so you're able to, you know, grate a little ginger or, you know, add some, you know, chopped lemongrass or some palm sugar to make it sweet. There really is no right way or wrong way. And I think the important part is, you know, start off some staple recipes and then from there experiment.
Were there any recipes that you like just didn't get much of a traction for that? Like, were there any like ingredients in particular that were like hang-ups? Because I find that tofu is a really hard sell for some people and I love it, but it's just one of those things. It's just too different for a lot of people if they
haven't eaten it a lot. No, I think you're right. And it's funny because in my app, I've included some tofu recipes that have different textural quality to them, and there are ways of using them that a lot of people don't think about using it. So if they experiment with it, they realize, hey, you know, this tastes great.
Yeah.
And also allowing people to substitute. Like, I don't like tofu. Okay, so what else do you use? You know, there are all these different options. So the whole idea is to not handcuff yourself to, you know, any particular way. It's like, what do I find on the market that's fresh? How can I use it?
Right.
And just play.
And there's a great, like, picture of a fried tofu cubes.
Yeah, it's a great Thai fried tofu salad that's really actually really simple. And also, it sort of allows people to do the technique of sort of flash frying without being sort of petrified of doing it at
home.
That's
the American way. Just fry anything, right?
And you've got it full. Exactly.
So you're half Chinese, correct?
I am. I'm Cantonese on my father's side and Scottish from my mother's side.
Go Hapas.
That's right.
So did you find that you had a good perspective about what both palates kind of, what the differences are and so forth and how to bridge them?
Absolutely. I mean, I was pretty much raised in a really traditional Chinese family, so Asian food was actually more predominant. But
did you play piano?
Of course I did. Practiced 2 hours every day. And that's why I hate it now.
Oh, really? I always hated it, but then I came back to piano.
You know, it's like, funny. I'm thinking about taking lessons again.
Really? Okay. Gotta polish up the fur elise.
Yeah, Tiger Mama definitely existed in my side of the family. But I think with food, it's basically having the palate. I was fortunate enough to have created a more global palate where I learned about Asian ingredients early on. You know, and as a result, I sort of teach my kids. I have, you know, two young girls now who eat Asian. Mm-hmm. And they either eat rice or noodles every night.
Really?
They do.
That's great. Well, they live also in Singapore,
yes.
too. So mm-hmm. that must be really fun mix of cultures to kind of show them to. I know you get to travel too, all around.
Yeah, we've really chosen to live in Asia at this point in our lives, really for our work and also for, you know, giving our kids a more global education.
Right. Yeah.
And whether it be food or travel or really friendships that they're creating, it's been a wonderful experience.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
I really want to go to Singapore.
Are
you going to write a cookbook on Singapore cuisine next?
You know, I would love to. Right now incorporate a lot of sort of Singaporean dishes in my app, mm-hmm. but that's definitely something to think about.
Oh, I wanted to ask why, did you, and I know your cookbooks are this way too, but mm-hmm. Did you ever like want to do individual cuisines or like, were you always just kind of tied to the all Asian sort of
You know, I've been tied to the all Asian theme because, you know, I feel a lot of people, you know, instead of just cooking, say, Vietnamese or just cooking regional Chinese, mm-hmm. I've learned to sort of mix dishes.
Yeah.
Like when I prepare food at home, sometimes I feel like, you know, doing a Vietnamese-style dish, but doing a, you know, Chinese stir-fry that goes along with it. And I think Asian food mixes very well together. So I really didn't want to...
Do your own blend of fusion.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. You know, I keep it fairly simple. I'm pretty much a purist when it comes to cooking, but... the important part is just the main ingredients are fresh,
mm-hmm.
And then the rest is sort of seasoning.
Well, I guess that might answer my next question, but what do you mm-hmm. think of, like, fusion, Asian fusion restaurants?
You know,
it's hard to say in general. But.
It's hard to say. I mean, I've seen the range, and, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it, I feel, tends to muddy the food. There's just too much going on in one particular dish.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I like to see things a little bit more simplified. So if you do any type of Chinese influence, it would be maybe a light soy-based,
mm-hmm.
Using a Chinese vegetable or using just a really nice cut of pork, whatever it might be. But the technique could be, you know, steaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I like to see things that are just not overdone, not too many layers.
Yeah. Just to... get to the food.
Yeah, really. Exactly. I feel like sometimes it's masking it when you do too much.
Yeah, it's a little showy maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I get this a lot. How do you steam rice?
It's funny. You know, I do
I
too.
I get a lot. Can you do it on a stovetop? Yes, you can. And in your video, you demonstrate that on a stovetop, right?
Yeah.
In a regular pot with a lid.
Absolutely. I mean, you can cook rice in many ways. And, you know, it's funny. I don't measure and I've always, you know, been
done
this
the finger trick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that is basically... this sounds a little off, but
I was like, "What did we just say?"
Yes, it's very kosher. So you just fill the rice with enough water to cover when you cover on top of the rice.
Mm-hmm. It's really one digit. If you touch the top layer of the rice,
mm-hmm.
you put one digit more. of water
yes.
on top of that.
I was going to say the water level should reach up to like in between your first and second knuckle.
Watch the video.
Yeah, exactly. This is why your videos are so important because this sounds ridiculous. All right. Okay, we're going to cut to a quick little musical interlude and I'm going to rummage through this basket and we'll be right back with Farina Wonking. Like,
okay.
See ya.
You're listening to Bonnie Girl by Adobe Ande, also known as The Young Summers.
Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
All right, we're back on Let's Eat In with Farina Wong Kingsley. We're just getting a little pizza fix, not the most Asian. But who knows, maybe now that we know that experimenting with all sorts of stuff in your kitchen is okay, we could throw some sriracha on there.
You know, I was about to say we should do an Asian style pizza.
Yeah. I actually had an Asian pizza night one night.
I had this
supper club called the Hapa Kitchen. And let's see, we did one with gado gado sauce, mm-hmm. like an Indonesian. Mm-hmm. Did one with like a Thai peanut and chicken.
And you
I can't
did,
remember. Chinese so lopchang sausage.
Oh,
one.
That'd be
yeah.
great.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Thai basil.
Are you doing any type of cheese on these pizzas?
Not for the gado, not mm-hmm. for the peanut. I think we did it for the lopchang, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Really cool.
Yeah, lopchang sausage is so universal, I think, because it's just a dry cured... sweet tasting Chinese sausage. They look a little wrinkly. Mm-hmm. They usually come in like they're kind of skinny too.
Right, and they really they last forever. I usually, yeah, I mean, they I keep them in my freezer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you really use for making fried rice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do a great sort of one pot rice dish where you steam it in a rice cooker with yeah. dried black mushrooms and
oh yum. Is it a sticky rice?
You too? Can use a sticky yeah. rice exactly, and you just let the lopchang infuse the flavor of the rice.
Mm.
Oh, I love it.
And you can also use that stuff to chop up finely and flavor, like maybe inside I don't know. Something else. Something maybe a dumpling.
Oh, absolutely.
Know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love your dumpling recipes. You made it look so easy to fold the shumai around just so and just perfectly. I mean, it's really like, I like how you said it's very forgiving because a lot of people are afraid, oh, if it doesn't look the way it comes out in like the fanciest
right,
restaurants
right.
and the fanciest presentation.
Mm-hmm.
But really, if it sticks together and it holds in the filling... You're okay.
No, you're totally right. I think, you know, what's great about, you know, dumplings, which are, you know, extremely popular these days, is you can buy the wonton skins in most markets
mm-hmm.
And make any type of filling, whether it be vegetarian or meat-based, and really make any type of filling, and it freezes so mm-hmm. well. I mean, you can make these dumplings and even have, like, a dumpling party.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, freeze it on a sheet tray, and anytime you want it, you pop it in a steamer, or you can flash fry or do whatever you want with it.
One of my favorite types of parties ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but do you ever make your own dumpling dough?
You know what?
Roll it out. It's so tedious.
It is tedious. You know, yeah. My feeling is there are too many great dim sum restaurants and restaurants that are just doing, you know, the little Shanghainese dumpling now. And
Xiaolongbao. Yeah,
Xiaolongbao. It's, my feeling is that I'd rather go out and eat it and spend yeah. more time, you know, chatting with my friends
yeah.
or family.
Leave it to the dumpling masters.
Yeah, yeah, no question. But, you know, just to do experiment and just to play at home, the wonton skins are, you know, second mm-hmm. best.
Right. So what else would you suggest are like the basic, or what would you suggest mm-hmm. are like the basic pantry staples to mm-hmm. get started?
For usually, if you want to do Chinese or Southeast Asian, I usually have a, like a light or dark soy. Mm-hmm. And
which one do I need?
You know, yeah. There are a couple of brands. I try to use something like Pearl River, mm-hmm. Superior Soy. Actually, Lee Kum Kee also does a really good line. Their high-end lines of light and dark soy are also good. I would just probably not recommend something like Hikkoman, which ends up being a little bit too sweet.
Oh, really?
I mean, I think a lot
That's
of people...
It's a Japanese one.
Yeah. So it may not be appropriate for Chinese regional or Southeast Asian cooking. But for light and dark soy, there really is a big difference.
Yeah.
So to be able to have those two on hand are always good. Rice vinegars, sesame oil, fish sauce is always good.
What type of fish sauce? Because there's so many different types.
No, I know.
Heard that you need to have one with like Thai letters, or else it's it's probably not fish sauce. I don't know.
You know, it really depends. I mean, depending on whether it's Vietnamese or Thai cooking that you prepare, I tend to use Tipperos, the brand that mm-hmm. More is across the board. But usually, Vietnamese fish sauce tends to be a little bit saltier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I usually use Tipperos and refrigerate it because it continues to ferment and get a little saltier.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're depending on some of the ingredients, some of them need to be refrigerated once you open it, but most are shelf-stable in your pantry.
So just sauces.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can do that.
Yeah. Sauces, dried noodles I would recommend. Mm-hmm. And the rest is really just fresh ingredients that you would purchase according to what you feel like preparing that day.
Bok choy.
Mm-hmm. Bok choy is always good. I mean, there's so many different types of leafy greens that are available.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it be seafood or, you know, going vegetarian, I mean, there's so many options. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, it's just the base that you want to work from.
What is your ultimate favorite, like, comfort food from?
Oh, gosh. So many. I mean, I'm a dumpling hound, so I love dumplings and noodles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now, I'm really into ramen. I mean, in Singapore, at least, there's ramen shops
really?
Popping up nice. Everywhere.
It's like it's a global thing.
Yeah, it's a major craze right now. So it's really learning about the different broths. And what I'm trying to develop right now is a broth that doesn't take 4 to 6 hours to make and taste decent.
Good luck with that.
I know.
So what is, I have to ask everyone on the show this question, what would you say is the ultimate date meal? And it doesn't have to be Asian, but, you know, whatever, in your opinion.
You know, I've been married for 12 years, so date meal usually means going out. But if I had to prepare a date meal at home, it would probably be something like a beef and mango salad.
I mean,
so it'd be Thai-inspired. You can do quick sort of pan fry of a great, say, ribeye, or you can even grill it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just toss it with some fresh mangoes and make a sort of like a light lime vinaigrette that goes with it and mix it up with a bunch of aromatics like Thai basil, mm-hmm. cilantro, maybe little peanuts or coconut on top. And
sounds very colorful.
Yeah. I mean, it's a one-dish meal and it's easy and it's not going to be something that you're going to get yourself dirty with. Perfect for summertime right now.
Would you put some like greens throughout there or just the mango and that goes?
I think just it'd be more like a composed salad. So your greens could be the bed, mm-hmm. and everything else is, you know, you just toss together and it can sit and still look pretty.
Did you get to try that when you were in Thailand?
You know, I have, and it's tasty, so tasty. And they do it with, you know, squid, and that's what's great about the salad is that you can do anything. You can do seafood, shrimp of any, you know, any kind, beef.
Do you have the green papaya salad in Europe?
Absolutely.
Somewhere? Yeah, that's right. I find it hard to find green papayas sometimes.
It is hard to find. Yeah. And another option is...
I tried it once with a non-green papaya, and it was a juicy mess.
No, you can't, right? Yeah.
Well, it was sort of underripe. I was like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it's a different animal, no question. Yeah. I mean, you could also try green mango. I don't know if that's as easily available. You know, what it comes down to is I've even done just jicama carrots.
Okay.
You know, something that's going to withstand that. And you can even shred some cucumber.
Mm-hmm. Kohlrabi, maybe?
Absolutely. Something that's going to withstand the marination.
Just something to shred.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to try that next time.
Yeah. Key flexibility. You got to, you know, find what works for you.
Cool. So this is your first app, and I'm really excited. There's so many videos. I haven't seen all of them yet. Are you planning on doing this from now on instead of cookbooks, or?
You know, I might.
Yeah.
I might. I mean, I have to say that this is, it's a bug right now. It's, for me, it's being able to do more videos to really show people, you know, more techniques. And also, when you have it visual, I really feel that people get it more.
Right.
You know,
totally.
They feel it's much more accessible. I mean, you can read about things and you can watch demos and things like that, but what it comes right down to is it'd be better for people to feel that they could do it at home. You know, stop the video, rewind, start again. It just gives more leeway.
Definitely. Very exciting. So do you think cookbooks are dead or print is dead?
No, I mean, no matter what, I mean, I enjoy just reading cookbooks at home all the time. I just personally don't cook from a cookbook, actually, but might, you know, pull it up online.
In the way of kitchen stuff, meats or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, even for, I mean, shopping, I end up taking my app or taking apps and just pulling ingredients from it.
You don't even have to take it with you since you already have a phone. So what is the best like intro recipe? I guess they're all pretty.
You know, one of my favorite intro recipes, especially for this time of the year, because I saw some great pomelo at the market.
Oh, that big grapefruit thing? Okay.
So if you can't find pomelo, which is that large sort of sweet and sour grapefruit, you can always just do red grapefruit. Mm-hmm. But a grapefruit and shrimp salad is really nice. It's just easily poached shrimp and then peel and toss and make a really light lime vinaigrette with it.
Oh my gosh, that sounds really exciting and fresh and colorful.
Yeah, very much so.
Why does Asian food get a bad rap for being all fried and greasy?
Yeah,
I don't get it.
I don't either. We need to re-educate.
Well, that's exactly what you're doing. So thank you very much for that. And this cover is, just to be sure, Chinese, Thai, Korean, Japanese, Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Singapore?
Yep.
Indian?
So I'm going to actually, that's the next step.
Okay.
So you're talking about a whole different world of cooking out there. So, but
South
absolutely, I'm getting
Asian?
Requests for it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And you've been there too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You've studied in schools and throughout Asia, it sounds like.
Yes. And I think it's just learning, incorporating from my own experience and seeing what flavors really appeal to people and try to put it on print and put it in the app.
It sounds like you're very world traveled. How do you sit down and do this app? Or
you know, a lot of it's on the plane.
Right.
Yeah. It really, for me, it's constant information. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, jotting down notes, taking photos.
Right. And how long did it take to create this app?
I would say it took a good year.
A good year. So was that longer and shorter than your previous book project?
It was a little bit longer only because, you know, this was my first, and to do the video work and to put it all together and have an app team to put everything together. But I hope for future apps and uploading.
Now that you've
got be much quicker.
Program down. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't wait to see what else you come up with. And this is a really exciting app. Do check it out at farinakingsley.com. And it's called Farina's Asian Pantry, Demystifying Asian Cuisine. You can also get one of these wonderful kits for the pantry that I'm looking at right now. And I can't wait to start using it. It even has, what's it called? Sichuan peppercorns. So thank you again for that.
For sure. Thanks,
really,
Kath.
Great. So it's been a lot of fun being on Let's Eat In today with Farina Wong Kingsley. Thanks, everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs
on iTunes
by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.